Well, please then take the Word of God once again. Turning to the same passage, Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We'll read together verse 7. Genesis chapter 13 and the verse number 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, of course, commences with creation. There we read of Adam and we read of Eve. No strife between them. No arguments. No difficult times. But then the fall came. Things changed. Strife entered in and all other kinds of sins. That was in chapter 3, the fall. And then in the following chapters we read of Cain, we read of Abel. There was strife there between them, that resulted in death. We read there of a wicked man having strife with a godly man. Then a few chapters later, chapter 6, we read that the world was filled with violence. So there's strife between the ungodly. They're fighting amongst themselves. Then we come to Genesis chapter 13. It's a very different situation now. I find it very sad. Because it's not strife between the ungodly. It's now strife between the people of God. And that's a sad situation and a terrible condition. Yet it comes as a result of the fall. Chapter 13 brings us to an important passage where we see Abram and Lot in a time of discord. The issue over which there is strife, it's nothing major. It appears to be something which is quite minor. But is it not true that little issues, if they're not dealt with, become great problems? Little issues, if they're not dealt with, becomes great problems. And you see, this is why this passage is given to us. We have these men of God under strife in the camp. It's a little issue, but it must be dealt with. And that's why this passage is given. So that as God's people, we learn how to deal with strife before it gets way out of hand. Look at the setting with me here. Verse number 6 and 7 here. We read that there's strife. Strife between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. Verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. It's not the situation. There's strife. There's trouble. Now, here's the thing. What actually brought about this strife? Why did the strife exist? Well, we read in verse number 2 here. Read verse 2 with me here. It says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. So he was a rich and he was a wealthy man. Then go on down to verse 5. It says there, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And then in verse 6, we hear that they were so greatly blessed that they couldn't dwell together. You see, in a very real sense, great blessing here brought great strife between these two men. It was the blessing that brought strife. Now, it wasn't because there was a fault with the blessing. The fault and the problem was with the men who were being blessed. That's the problem. As God's people, we dwell in a day where there is much blessing. Financially, and every other way, there's few of us are in absolute poverty. And the more we're blessed of God, in whatever way, all the more we must be in the place of prayer seeking the Lord for help to handle our blessing with wisdom and with godliness and with spiritual maturity. Blessing here brought strife. Not because of the fault of the blessing, but because of the men who were being blessed. I want you to note something else here as we look, just to get the idea of the context. It's also worth noting that the strife didn't come from the ungodly. It came from the camps of those who knew the Lord. The problem here came from those who were the people of God. What do we learn from that? Men and women, when a brother or a sister in the Lord offends you, don't be surprised. The enemy can also use the people of God, but as the people of God, let's just be honest. So often we say things that we shouldn't. So often we do things to one another that we shouldn't. Sometimes thoughtlessly. Sometimes very inconsiderately. The people of God, men and women, we offend one another. That's just the way it is. There's strife amongst the people of God so often. Here's the issue. How do we deal with the strife? There will be times people offend you. There will be times that the people of God offend you. How do we deal with it? How do we work with it? Well, that's what this passage is here to teach us. How to deal with or how to stamp out strife. I'm going to draw out from this passage really a formula of how to stamp out strife. I don't know the congregation here terribly well, but I know a lot of you and I've had some time to fellowship amongst you. I don't know of any strife in this congregation and I rejoice in that. Maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe we all do, but we try to keep it quiet. Maybe something's happened. Maybe someone said something to you. And in your heart there's strife against the people of God. This passage shows us how to deal with strife before it gets out of hand. I want to see, first of all, here the man of God. Strife was stamped out here by a man of God. As he said, there's strife between Abram and Lot. And it's interesting here who it was that stepped up to deal with the problem. It wasn't cold, lukewarm Lot. No, it was godly Abraham was a man who stood up to deal with this situation. Abraham was an exceptional man of God. Let me tell you why. Look at chapter 13, the verse number 4. We read these words, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Abraham was a man of God. Why? Because he spent time with the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. He loved his God. And you know, something that strikes me about Abraham, I have to say I love this. Time and time and time and time again, you will read of Lot, or you will read of Abram here, and he sets up an altar to do what? To worship and to pray and to commune with God. Turn over to chapter 12 in the verse 7. What do we read there? Chapter 12 in the verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He builds an altar. We read of him building an altar in chapter 13, verse 18, or in verse 4. But also go to chapter 13, the verse 18. What do we read there? Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And what did he do? And built there an altar unto the Lord. Here's a man of God. Why? Because he spends time with the Lord, worshipping him, praising him, communing to his God. You never once read of Lot building an altar. You never hear of Lot praying to the Lord. And it was the man of God here who stepped up to deal with his strife. Here was a man of God who spent time with the Lord. And here's the point. And the individual who spends time with the Lord will not have any desire to fight, to argue, to be in the midst of strife over every little silly issue that arises in his life. The man who spends, or the woman who spends time with the Lord, will be godly enough, will be wise enough, will be spiritual mature enough to deal with or avoid all unnecessary strife that comes to his or her way. Therefore, and I want to say this tenderly, the individual who continually is involved in strife, in arguing, not happy unless he or she is stirring up strife, there's something wrong with the soul. If that's you, friend, there's something wrong with your soul. Because a man of God, a woman of God, will have nothing to do with silly little issues, with silly little strife, which can so often come up amongst the people of God. Let's listen to the words of a man of God here. Genesis again 13, or passages, and the verse number 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. And note these words, I pray thee. Abraham is coming to this man. He knows there's an issue. He knows there's strife. I see a man here, Abraham, filled with love, filled with compassion, a man of God, a man who has spent time with the Lord. He sees an issue, and he says to Lot, listen, I pray thee, may there not be any strife between you and me. You know, Abraham wasn't some kind of a coward here. He's not going to Lot, he's not going almost in tears, you know, saying, you know, Lot, oh please, you know, please, Lot, don't fight with me, I don't want to argue. That's not the case. Abraham was no coward. Abraham was a powerful man of God with authority and with strength. He had no need to go and ask Lot of anything. He was far superior to this man, Lot. Just to prove that Abraham was no coward, see in chapter 14, we read there of the first war in Scripture, the first war against or amongst some of the kings of the day. And they all fight, there's destruction, there's death, there's everything else. 7 or 8 kings, they're all coming together, they're all fighting. And let me tell you, Abraham was the man who stepped in single-handedly and sorted them all out. Because he was a man of God. He was a man who knew how to deal with strife. He was a man who walked with the Lord. Abraham was no coward. He was a man who spent time with God. And as a result of that, he possessed the spirit of peace. See, Abraham stood uncompromisingly for his God, yet he possessed within his soul a spirit and an attitude of peace. He loved the people of God. He had compassion toward his fellow men. And that's the marks of a man or woman who spends time with the Lord. That's the mark of a man or woman who spends time with the Lord. I want to ask you to evaluate yourself today. Are you someone who's continually involved in strife? Are you someone who's arguing, you harboring strife in your own soul? The answer, the first answer here is, go to the Lord. Spend time with God, and I can assure you, you will have within your soul a peaceable spirit and have the wisdom to deal with strife. Strife was stamped out by a man of God. Let me say also, strife was stamped out here because of the motive. There was a motive here to stamp out strife. Look at verse number 7 with me here. Verse number 7. Just actually, I want to say something else here before I go on. The stamping out of strife requires meekness. Maybe a man of God, we also require meekness. Look at verse number 8 here. We read there, and Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Here's this man, Abraham. He's a man of God. He's also a man of great meekness. You see, whose fault was it here? Who's at fault? Was it Abram's men or was it Lot's men? It's my opinion that it was Lot's men, because if Abraham was at fault, I would assume he would have apologized, made amends, and sorted the whole problem out. But he didn't do that. Abraham here comes to Lot, and there's no blame game. He doesn't point the finger at Lot and say, Lot, you're at fault here. There's no names even mentioned. We're not even told whose fault it was. Abraham was a man of great meekness. He didn't care for his own reputation. He wasn't trying to give somebody else the blame. Abraham, in a sense, with spiritual muscle, stands up. And he's willing to take the hit for this as long as there's no strife between him and another man of God. I think that's interesting. Here's a man of great meekness. A man of God. A man of meekness. And all he desires is that there would not be strife amongst the people of God. And so the motive, or rather the meekness that was required here to stamp out strife, is evidenced in Abraham. But there's also the motive for stamping out strife. Look here at verse number 7. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdmen. We read that, but look at the end of the verse. It speaks of the people, and they're called the Canaanites, and those who were called the Perizzites. They also dwelled in the land alongside Abraham and Lot. They were the heathen. They were ungodly. They knew nothing of the Lord, but let me tell you, it's still the same today. There's people who do not know God, but you can be rest assured that those who do not know the Lord watch every action that the people of God do. Everything you do, the ungodly watch. And that's why I believe that little phrase that is there in that passage. It's to state this fact that the ungodly were there, and Abraham and Lot was a testimony, an example to them. You see, these men, the people of these other tribes, they would have seen Abraham worshipping Lot, or the Lord. They would have seen Abraham praising the Lord. They would have seen God blessing Abraham. They would have seen the Lord do these mighty things for him. What an awful, ugly, hideous blight it would have been for there to have been strife amongst the people of God, and for the ungodly to look and see men fighting amongst themselves. The ungodly could have said, Abraham, he worships his God, I worship my God. Abraham is blessed, and we also prosper. Abraham and Lot, well, there's strife amongst them, there's strife amongst us, and there's no difference between us and these godly men. What an awful thing it is for the people of the world, the ungodly, to look at you and I as God's people and say that there's nothing different between you and us. We fight and you fight. Let me tell you, the ungodly will evaluate and understand the Lord and the gospel according to your actions. The way you live, the way you act, that will be their understanding of Scripture. And if you're in the workplace, if you're at the home, wherever you are, you bear in mind that the ungodly watch you. And they will interpret Christianity according to the way you live. And if you live a life of strife, if you are the sort of person, your conduct is continually to argue and all these other sorts of things which cause a strife, let me tell you, that's an awful representation of the God I love. You might not care what people think of you, but you should care what people think of your God and your Lord. You remember, you're a testimony to the Lord. Strife had to be stamped out here, and Abraham knew that because the ungodly watched on, and he couldn't tarnish the name of the Lord. and all the ways of God. Abraham was a man of God. That's how strife was stamped out. Abraham was a meek man. That's also how strife was stamped out and dealt with. There's also the motive here that the ungodly watched on. There's also the matter to stamp out strife. There's another issue here. There's another reason why strife had to be stamped out. Look at verse number 8 with me here again. Verse number 8 of chapter 13, it says, "And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? For we be brethren." He says, because we're brethren. Now, Abraham and Lot were brethren in the fact that they came from the same line of descendants. But they're also brethren in the fact that they were both children of our Heavenly Father, of God. And Abraham says, Lot, there's much more to unite us than there is to separate us. Lot, we're brethren. It's the people of God. We're all brethren and sisters in Christ. We're all bought with the same blood. We're all purchased by the same Savior. And friend, the one with whom you may argue with, let me tell you, that child is a child of God whom Christ died for. And that's certainly a matter for us to take into consideration. There should not be strife amongst the people of God because the Lord has died for each and every one of us. How could you argue with someone whom Christ has died for? If Christ can forgive all their sins, I don't think it's too much for you and me to forgive perhaps their misconduct toward us. I want you to turn with me here. We could almost call it a parallel passage. It's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul deals here with this issue of strife in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 11. We read, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11, end of the verse. "That there are contentions among you." Then move on down to chapter 3 and the verse 3. Paul then gives the reason for why there's strife, why there's contention. He says in verse 3 of chapter 3, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" He says, there's strife, there's contention among you. Why? Because there's a carnal attitude. There's a fleshliness about your conduct. How does the Spirit of God inspire Paul to deal with this situation? Look on down to verse number 9. They're in strife. They're in strife because they're carnal and there's this fleshliness about their conduct. Look at verse number 9. Paul reasons with them, "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We're laborers together. We all stand for the one cause. We all desire the same end. We're all working together with the same goal in view here. Why is there strife amongst the people of God? We're all saved, and we're all the people of the Lord. Here's the sense of what Paul is saying. People of Corinth, let there be no strife between thee, because we're all brethren. And that's exactly what Abram is saying here in Genesis chapter 13. "Lord, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." Why? Because we're brethren. Why would people who are brethren, who are bought with the same blood, who You are purchased by the same Christ, living for the same cause, fighting for the same goal. Why would we all strive one with the other? You know, Abram and Paul's reasoning is correct. There's much more men and women to unite you and I than there is to separate us, than there is to cause strife amongst the people of God. Let's just be honest here. I like to be frank. There's going to be complications among the people of God, and you know that. There's personality clashes, and we all know that. That's a problem which we have to deal with. There's going to be some saints who are more mature than others. They're going to see sin in other people, and it's going to annoy them, and that can cause strife as well. Yet with all our differences, with all our difficulties, there's much more that unites us than there is to separate us, than there is to cause strife amongst us. But yet, is it not often the case that God's people, we fall out with one another for the silliest reasons? You said something nasty to me. That business deal, you took far too much money off me. Perhaps another tender one is, your son said something nasty to my child. These are real problems amongst the people of God. And although we condemn all of these, nevertheless, there is much more to unite us than there is to cause us to strive wickedly one with the other. Let me just say here in conclusion, men and women, we have enough enemies with the world, the flesh and the devil, without making enemies of God's own people. Let me say that to you again. We have plenty of enemies in the world, the flesh and the devil, without having enemies within the Church of Christ. Is there strife with you and another person? Let me say this. If you live close to the Lord and you're a man or a woman of God, you'll have no desire to be in strife or in contention. Is there strife between you and another person? Well, then pray for meekness to deal with the situation. And remember that the world is watching your every move, your every listening to your every word. Furthermore, keep in mind the fact that we are brethren and sisters in Christ. Unity amongst the people of God is so important, and that's why this passage is given, so that we know how to stamp out, how to deal with strife before it gets way out of hand. I want to read one verse to you. It's Psalm 133 in the verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What a blessed thing unity is amongst the people of God. You can think in Acts chapter 2, there was unity amongst the people of God when they prayed in unity. And that's when the blessing came. Brethren and sisters, I trust that as we continue to live for the Lord, that we can live close to God and we will grow spiritually enough to be able to deal with strife, to follow the Lord and love the people of God.